The 2017 draft is in the books and the reports are in. It was a good one for the Browns, and it all starts at the top with the number one overall pick, Myles Garrett.
I love to hit. I love to hit and I love to compete.
We'll get to meet all of the newest members of the Browns and hear from the architects of the Browns 2017 draft.
I think we're excited about what we were able to accomplish this weekend. Obviously, day one was huge for us with three first-rounders.
Interviews, analysis, and more. It's next on Browns Countdown.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to a post-edition of the draft. It is a special Browns Countdown. We are so excited. It's been a long weekend, but it's been a great weekend, too. Nathan Zagura is here, Matt Wilhelm as well. Guys, we'll start it off, make it real easy for you. Your initial thoughts on what the Browns did over the last 3 days.
I'm very excited by what the Browns did because you came into this draft and you got the best player in the draft, number one, Myles Garrett. You finished day one with three players and also getting a future first-round pick. And then you get the guy that I thought had the most upside of any quarterback in this class at number 52, where there's no risk, added in some quality pieces later. But you said it best on CBD, so I'll let you do it. This was where they figured out how to keep everyone happy and really work together.
They absolutely did. I think this is the epitome of collaboration, as they've always said within this building. We went out and we got three first-round picks. That's unprecedented. So Hugh Jackson, who's been asking for players, get me players, get me great players. Well, Sashi and his crew went and got three great players. And oh, on the backside, he appeased him and his staff and went and got a future 2018 pick. So this is the ultimate collaboration amongst this group, where we get talent and we get the picks, because we know Sashi, Paul D. Podesta, Andrew Berry love picking in the draft.
Yeah, and the other thing you saw, too, was that they are not afraid to be aggressive when there's somebody they want. They traded up to get David Njoku. They made a couple trades late as well, one to get Rod Johnson and the other one to get the cornerback out of Houston. And when you look at that, the way they did that, they would move up one round and move down one round. So they weren't sacrificing two for one. They're still getting their two swings at the plate, but figured out a way to go up and get the guys that they wanted.
Even furthermore, I just love the fact that you could feel throughout even the first round that there was a plan. So many times in years past, it never felt like we had a plan. We were kind of doing things off the cuff, or we going based on one person's instinct. I think it was fully collaborative within this group, and they were setting out with a plan. They drafted similar type of personalities, guys that love football. That's the one resounding message when you speak to all these guys or you read the press conferences. They love this game.
I can't wait to talk about smoke screens at some point during the show.
We will.
There were things that I thought were going to happen that didn't happen. Let's take a look at the picks in as a whole. Now, before we go through every player, which we're about to do over the next couple minutes here, we just want to kind of break things down here by pick and just kind of say, okay, here's what they did for the first five picks, here's what they did for the next five picks. And so as we talk about just offense and defense, and then even going out and getting a special teams player, I thought the mix was there. It was like everything, okay, we're going offense, we're going defense.
Yeah, they need help on both sides of the ball, so they wanted to address that. Obviously, the quarterback position, the biggest one of need, and they get their swing at the plate with DeShone Kizer. But defense heavy early, your first two picks on the defensive side of the ball with Peppers and, of course, Myles Garrett, number one overall. But they needed help at tight end, and they got it. They got more athletic. That's the other thing. You got guys that love football, but you got guys that are more athletic than the guys that currently been on the Browns roster. And if you look back in the last 12 months now, Agba last year, Jamie Collins, who was really a third-round pick in this draft, that's what you used to get him, Peppers and Garrett, they're probably your four best athletes on defense all added in the last 12 months.
You know what this kind of feels like to me? It feels like when a college coach is fired and then he wants to go, well, those aren't my guys.
Right.
Let me go out and get my guys. And we saw that last year in Corey Coleman, Carl Nassib, Emmanuel Agba. We got a bunch of their guys this year and acquiring the two. We have the two firsts, the 3 seconds next year. It's going to give us another opportunity to get our guys. And as you see in some of these developmental college programs, it takes a few years for the head coach and his staff to get on the same page with their players. And sometimes they cycle through the old and they either eventually graduate. In some case, they leave via free agency or they get released. We saw in the face of Gary Barnage. And then the mentality and the culture of this new staff and new regime really starts to play out on the football field.
All right, let's go through this player by player now. And I think the one thing that could make the Browns successful, no matter what they did with the other picks, was going out and getting Myles Garrett at number one.
Yeah, he's the best player in the draft. They let it come to him. They took him. And you know, I think we'll talk about those smoke screens later on, but I think they knew what they were doing all along, and they get the guy that is going to change change this defense. When you run a 4-3 like Greg Williams, what do you need? Two ends who can get to the quarterback. You got Ogba last year. Now Garrett, I think he makes this whole defense better. And obviously, that is the crown jewel of this draft class.
It absolutely is. And I played in a system in San Diego in a 3-4 scheme, albeit, where we had Sean Merriman and Sean Phillips on each end. One guy goes for 11.5. The other guy goes for 16 sacks in a year. And it allows life on the inside for the nose tackle just to occupy double teams. And the middle linebackers, in this case, DeMario Davis, Jamie Collins, Christian Kirksey, to roam free. And I think that's where the elaborative defense of Greg Williams really comes into play. And as we transition into the next pick, Jabril Peppers, where's he going to be used? And is he going to be coming off of this edge? Is he going to be running down the middle, you know, with these gaps that are going to have to be open because of the threats on each side?
What are your thoughts on Peppers?
I love him. In terms of being a tremendous athlete, there's no question that's what he is. 16 tackles for loss last year. He runs a 4.440. They say they're going to use him at safety. And you need help on the back end. And I think he's going to be in Greg Williams' defense so versatile. And sometimes he's going to be near the line of scrimmage. Sometimes he's going to play the deep half. He's going to do a lot of blitzing. And then the other part of it is, you see, he's got return skills. And this guy's immediately going to help the special teams of the Cleveland Browns.
But asking him to play one spot on defense is going to be different than Key. When you were at Michigan, where Harbaugh's saying, okay, I need you to play here because I can't get this done. So, because I think that was a big, like, confusion factor for some fans over, he's going to have the chance to play one position.
It definitely is. At Michigan, he had to be in the offensive meeting and be very in tune to that entire game plan. He had to jump into the defensive meeting and be in tune with that entire game plan. And then you just took for granted that he's going to walk out there and catch punts and kickoffs and make dynamic plays, where now he's going to walk into one side of the ball, maybe get a small little addendum as a part of the offense. He's going to spend a lot of time with Chris Tabor. And guys, that's the point where I had an opportunity to speak to Chris Tabor in the building. Big smile on his face. I asked him about his toy, and he said, the passion and excitement that the guys will have knowing that if I get my block, they have a special player that can take the ball the distance every time he touches it.
Jabril Peppers was an unselfish player at Michigan. If he was worried about his draft stock, you'd have been like, look, I'm playing safety, and right. That's that. He played that linebacker role for Harbaugh, and of course, I think that's why people didn't know what he could be. The Browns see the talent. They see the athleticism. They'll figure out a way to get the best out of him.
All right, so now the Browns come back up in the third round. They go with David Njoku at 20. I read some mock drafts that had him in the top 15, and we had talked even on Thursday about how this draft was kind of separated between the guys that were top 12, top 15, and then the guys after that. I saw Njoku as a guy who was a top 15. So to me, when they went up and got him, I thought it was a steal.
This guy is a freak athlete. 6'4", he's only 20 years old, 250, runs a 4.640. But he's after the catch ability, over 11 yards of yak per reception last year, tops in the nation, nearly 17 yards a catch. This is the guy that Hugh Jackson wants. A seam stretcher, can be a mismatch guy down there. And we saw what Eifert did a couple years ago, 13 touchdowns in this offense. That's what they wanted. And this guy is a big play threat.
What it says to me is so much that they went and cut Gary Barnidge. That just goes to show how much they love David Njoku and the player that he'll have to be for this Cleveland Browns football team come day one.
All right, let's keep moving on to the second round. DeShone Kizer. I know a lot of people that are very happy. Jeff Phelps, the guy I do radio with, was ecstatic.
Very happy.
I mean, all these guys are pumped up about it because, you know, you've got a guy that doesn't have the pressure of saying you need to be the starter on day one.
No, I just want to throw something out really quick. And I just think, you look at none of these quarterbacks really are thought to be day one starters. And you look at the Chicago Bears, who were two games better than the Browns at 3-13, took a guy number two overall, compromised their future by trading up only one spot, and Mitchell Trubisky will sit behind Mike Lennon for an entire year. So if we, 50 picks later, take DeShone Kizer, and he has to sit and learn and rub elbows with Hugh Jackson and David Lee, the quarterback's coach, behind Kessler and or Brock Osweiler or another quarterback to be named, that is a great thing. That's the bargain we got and the value we have in DeShone Kizer.
The last sentence in the write-up on Kizer and Dane Brugler's draft guide is this guy has the most upside of any quarterback in the class. And we talked to so many draft experts. They may not have had him number one, but they all agreed he had the most upside. So coach this kid up. You got a guy, this is AFC North, 6'4", 240. He can run it. He can throw it. He can make every throw in the book. It's going to be on them to get him more consistent. And for people who were saying, well, he's so terrible last year. 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions in his terrible year, ran for another 8. This is a kid that has all the tools. If he starts day one, I got no problem with it. Let's see what we got. But I will say this. If you did what the Bears did, you're not taking a quarterback early next year. They still can do that with Kizer. They picked 3 guys before they got the guy who could really – he's the linchpin this draft. If he comes out to be good, this is the draft you'll look back and say everything changed that
Kizer
day.
Kizer did that with a head coach who didn't believe in him, too.
Correct.
As we all found out afterwards. Then the Browns select the first ever player to be drafted from NC Charlotte. And, of course, we're talking about tackle Larry Ogunjobi.
What a story from this kid.
Talk about that video on social media.
This guy, I was interviewing him yesterday. I'm like, I've never seen anybody whose traps have biceps. And this guy is jacked out of his mind, was sitting on his couch playing video games, was approaching 400 pounds. His parents took his Xbox away, said, you're done. And since then, he's been in the gym every single day and has turned himself into one of the premier run stoppers. Three straight years, double-digit tackles for loss at Charlotte. This guy is a beast. Love his story. And I think he's going
really
to add
parents.
A lot.
I need to talk to his parents about how to get my kids motivated.
Absolutely. And I think for me, why I love this is he is a plug-in role player on this defense. He's not going to be asked to be the three technique and have to play 60 plays a game. But for 25, as you mentioned, in run situations, you plug him in. He's got that quick step. He's a penetrator. He can split a double team. He's got the weight and the strength to take on a double team to allow those linebackers to run free.
All right, let's go back to defense now with the next pick, Howard Wilson, defensive back.
All right, I got an opportunity to talk to this guy. He has got the gift of gab. This guy, only a one-year starter down there at Houston, but what he is a ball hawk playmaker. In his 1 year, 5 interceptions, 15 pass breakups. He just knows how to get his hand on the ball, and this guy is hilarious. I think he and Peppers, apparently they had a friendship that they formed at one of the award shows or something. They got together. They really liked each other, and this kid is hysterical. I asked him, I go, it sounds like you're a little bit of a trash talk. He goes, I got to be talking, man. He's like, that's what gets me going. So I like this kid, a ball hawk, talking to some of the coaches. They love his instincts. Those are things you can't coach. Give him some seasoning, he's going to be good.
Sure, absolutely. Though the one thing, just in reading the press release and hearing him speak, was the excitement. And as I mentioned in the first segment, early in the show, the excitement for the game, the passion to want to come to work, a lot like the other guys in this class.
And he's 6'1", so he will be the biggest DB we've got.
Let's go to a guy who's 6'7", 311 pounds out of Florida State. We're talking about Rod Johnson, maybe an heir apparent who could be here for a long time if he can get it done on the offensive line.
6'7", he's got 36-inch length arms. This is a guy that replaced Cam Irving. He was so good at tackle. That's why Cam Irving ended up moving to center. 2-time All-American. He's got some issues, they say, with his bend, and that's something technique's going to have to be worked on.
When you're 6'7", it's hard to bend.
Yeah, I would imagine it is, but, he's going to learn from arguably the greatest technician at left tackle in the history of football, Joe Thomas. This was a developmental guy, and why not take a swing at the plate there?
I like the pick. In a developmental round, you get a developmental guy who's going to have an opportunity to learn, and then maybe in a year or two compete to play for this football team.
How about Caleb Brantley?
Well, with Caleb Brantley, you got a guy that had he not had the off-field incident, he would have been a day two guy. And so if you're the Browns at this point and you're saying, we're going to take a shot on a guy that could be big. He was one of the top pass rushing interior defensive linemen in college last year and one of the top run stuffers. So he was top 10 in both of those per Pro Football Focus. You just got to figure out what's going on. And there's a possibility he might not ever get a chance to be a Cleveland Brown. But if things work out, you took a shot on a 6th-round pick that chances of them making the team anyway slim. And now you have a guy that really would have been a 2nd-round pick if he didn't have the off-the-field
stuff. That's the one thing that reigns supreme for me is, when you have 10 picks and you accumulate the luxury that we have to, you're not going to hit on all of them to begin with. You can take a dark horse, and I think that's Sashi and Hugh walking out there day one and understanding and spelling out exactly what will happen if things do come out bad in his case. They will move on from him very quickly.
Right away.
Surprised they took a kicker in the 7th round. Normally you don't draft a kicker. Zane Gonzalez, this kid can kick. He's the NCAA record holder in consecutive field, or just field goals.
Made in his career. Yeah. The Lou Groves Award winner last year down in Arizona State. 7 field goals, 7 of 9 from more than 50 yards. And I think Hugh Jackson looking for his kicker. Cody Parkey, look, competition is good. You get the best kicker in the draft. You get him late. Bring him in, let him compete.
That's the one thing that will naturally happen as we accumulate picks year after year, 14 last year, 10 this year, on the paper, 11 next year, is competition. Right. To me, the whole thing with this Cleveland Browns team is create the Rome Coliseum and have these guys, regardless of where they're drafted, how much they're paid, free agency, drafted, what undrafted, have them all fight it out and put the best 53 on the football field.
All right, last one to pick, Matt Days out of NC State, running back.
Hard runner, guy they saw at the Senior Bowl. They liked him very much. He caught their eye. As you see there, maybe a little undersized, shifty. He can catch the football, 5'9", 213, but a good runner out in the open field. And look, you brought in the kid from Dallas last year. You've got Crow, you've got Duke. It sounded like yesterday they're not worried about Crow signing his tender, but you can always add running backs. I think that's a position you take some swings at late in the draft. No risk there. And as we've seen in the NFL, undrafted guys, late round guys, turn into big time players every single year.
Yeah, I think a lot like Zane Gonzalez. It's just a matter of competition. You want to add a little bit of depth at a position that might be in a little bit of question. Though the one thing that surprised me was just not going, inside linebacker. because we have great starters in Davis, Collins, and Kirksey.
Right.
But with Tank Carter and Alexander, you think they've got to love their depth. I thought they might have added another body to that room.
Yeah, I thought the depth was also raised when we went into free agency and started having guys on the offensive line. Like, I feel like there's guys, like, if somebody gets hurt, they can come back and put somebody else in.
Yeah.
All right, here's what the front office had to say about the draft.
We're able to come away with still 10 picks and some guys that we really had high on our board going into the day. So great team effort from our coaches to our scouts, support staff, ownership. Really proud of our ability to execute our plan and come away with a real successful weekend.
As excited as we are, as fun as the draft always is, I think we always tend to look back at things and say, okay, what could we have done better? You always look at certain situations, that may have been a missed opportunity, but you take a step back right now as soon as it's over and you look at the names on the card and, feel really, really good about the 3 days as a whole.
We're better. You know, now how much better we are, we'll find that out as we go. But I feel more comfortable and confident in our guys that are in the locker room, that they know what to expect and how we want to play. And I think we did a great job of drafting to our identity, and what we want to become here at the Cleveland Browns.
All right, we are just starting to dive into this draft. We've got plenty more to come over the next hour. We'll talk about the Browns' first-round selections when we come back after a quick timeout. It's going to be fun to watch Myles Garrett, man. I can't wait. Welcome back to this special draft edition of the Browns Countdown. The guys are analyzing the first round. We start with Myles Garrett, and there's already been so much analysis on Garrett already. Let's take a quick back look and just kind of let you guys go back and forth. I know there were some negatives, especially about his last year there at Texas A&M, but, man, everything sounds so good about this. It's so right. Everything feels right.
The guy's a beast. You watch those plays, lives in the backfield, incredibly athletic. Guys that big shouldn't move the way he does. Incredibly productive in college, and last year did it on an ankle that he said was 75%. And I thought this was something I took away from his press conference that I loved. Here's a guy who probably knew he was going to be the number one pick in the draft. His coaches and staff said, look, you can get healthy. You're only at 75%. Get this ankle healthy. He's like, I wouldn't do that to my teammates. I wouldn't do that to the coaches or the fans. I was out there every day with my guys. And he didn't have to do that. I love that. I respect that.
I think being the number one overall pick year after year, or even a top five pick, there comes a bullseye that you put on your back naturally that people are going to stay in tune with. And I think for him, to come out with the words and talk about who he wants to sack first and what, and if we had not drafted him, how we're going to make them pay, for that team. I think I'm excited to have him in a Browns uniform. I'm excited to see what number he's going to wear, and I want to see him make people pay on the football field.
It's always good to have a little attitude. With his Heart of Rock and Roll t-shirt, he was ready to become a member of the Cleveland Browns. Here he is.
As you heard, I have some pretty lofty goals for myself, so I don't really listen to anybody else's expectations. I keep myself grounded with my, my family, my friends, and they always help me, keep my head straight and keep focused. I'm not worried about what anybody else is thinking or the negative comments anybody else wants to make. I have, the best I could, ever dream of right now. And if I could just maintain my focus and keep on working hard on the field, it'll stay that way.
It was interesting to hear right before the draft, what Hugh Jackson was thinking. What did he want at number one? And he was pretty happy after they selected Myles Garrett at number one.
He has a burning desire to be one of the best in football, and I think you guys will see that tomorrow. I think we've all known his talent and seen his talent, so we have the right guy. He's just got to come in and do it consistently over time, and the rest will take care of itself.
So the Browns then traded back to 25 from 12, getting a 2018 first-round pick, and then ultimately selecting Jabril Peppers from Michigan. Your thoughts on all of that?
Well, look, anytime you could come out of the first round with three players and a one next year, giving them two ones and three twos in the 2018 draft, it's a success. And you get a guy in Peppers who is one of the premier athletes in this draft. And it's funny, if you look back, there was a mock draft done in November, mid-season last year by USA Today. The number one pick in that mock draft was Myles Garrett. Number two was DeShone Kizer. Number three at that time overall, Jabril Pepper. So the fact that he didn't have a position maybe gave some people pause. I think the Browns saw an athlete. And I remember watching Greg Williams' defense when we went to St. Louis. They were fast. They were physical. And Peppers is that kind of guy and a great competitor who hates to lose.
Absolutely. And I think for me, when I watched Michigan, even though it was Michigan, it was, where's Jabril Peppers? I want to see what he's doing. I think with the ball in his hand, where are they going to line him up? How are they going to use him? Because he was constantly a threat. He was constantly a game-wrecking player. And as you just mentioned, I think on special teams and on defense, Greg Williams will draw up simple opportunities for him to make those impact plays, because as a rookie and as a guy who really didn't have a sure position, he's going to have a lot of learning to do.
Yeah, here's Peppers on being a Bron.
No, it definitely felt good to, you know, come into an organization where they really believe in you despite everything. You know, you just feel forever indebted to, you know, giving them everything you have each and every time. You know, the practice, weight room, film room, games, you know, so I'm definitely just ecstatic to, you know, be moving forward and, you know, working with coaches who truly believe in me.
I'm ready, man. I appreciate you for believing in me. Yes, sir.
Told you we're going to try to figure it out.
Yes, sir.
It's a big one. That's a big one.
Wow.
That's why people love playing for Chris Tabor. Yes. Right there. Because he has that kind of excitement. Like, that was like he just had a baby. Seriously. Like, he just had his own kid.
I told you. I talked to Chris. He had a huge smile. He just knows. And in coaching Devin Hester in Chicago, he knows what it's like, the impact that special teams and that his schemes can have on a football game when you have a dynamic football player back there.
And Friday, I got a chance to talk to Greg Williams while in the building. He could not be happier. He said, we got one of the best athletes in this draft, and we're going to get the most out of him. And he loves his competitive fire. Peppers, in his press conference, said, I hate to lose more than I like to win. And I love that mindset, because winning is the expectation. So when you do what you're supposed to do, you don't get that excited. But, man, it kills him to lose, and he's going to help try and turn that around here. I know you're going to say, by the way, I hope he got used to it against Ohio State. I'll say it for you. But I think, you know, when he gets here, he wants to be part of a turnaround and make this a winning program.
Okay, that's what we had a chance to hear from him. We had a chance to see what the coach's reaction was. What did the front office think of this pick?
It's going to be really interesting just to see how Greg uses him, because Greg's had so many players like this with this kind of skill set before in his defense. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be exciting to watch.
Yeah, we were really excited just to get a player that fits our scheme and the experience that Greg has had finding players like Jabril and making them successful. And then I think Jabril brings perhaps a dynamic play style and athletic ability that probably Greg hasn't had in that position, mm-hmm. and the other guys he's actually turned into Pro Bowlers. So that was really exciting for us to be able to add Jabril and give him to Greg, who's got experience and knowing exactly how to use that player.
All right, up next, we're talking about the Browns' third first pick. That is tight end David Njoku. We'll give you an exclusive look at the Browns' rookie's first day in Berea as well when we come back. We're going to find out who he reminds you of here in a second.
Yes.
I would say that. All right.
It's a great player.
I know who he reminded me
of.
Right,
welcome back to Browns Countdown. Did you expect the Browns to jump back into the first round to get David Njoku out of Miami? There was talk, Pro Football Talk had said, the Browns had looked at what the Steelers would have had on their first board, and they just jumped. I love that, man. That was like my favorite part of the weekend.
Yeah, there were reports the Steelers were set to select David Njoku, and the Browns jumped him to get him. And this kid's only 20 years old. You look at that size and speed. Watching those highlights, to me, he looked like a smoother Vernon Davis. And you remember Vernon Davis back
Vernon
in the day?
Davis.
Yeah, who was an explosive athlete, one of the faster tight ends. He's got game-breaking speed, runs around like a receiver, and he's very raw. He's very new to the game.
He is.
His ceiling, a lot of people say, the highest of any of these tight ends. Howard more polished, for sure, but the tools he has, he can be in line for you if he improves his blocking. This guy was a national high jump champion, and he's a tight end. Are you serious, bro?
You know who it reminds me of? And it came to my mind, and it's a player that I played in that 2002 national championship in another Miami Hurricane, Kellen Winslow Jr. I think there's a fluidity to him as a player.
Very fluid.
There's a tenacity to him as a player, the dynamic aspect that he brings to playing the tight end position, and a guy that can play on the end of the line where you have to play as a tight end in this National Football League and block the likes of Myles Garrett and Emmanuel Ogba, but be able to flex out and run away from nickels and corners.
And by the way, you can't. It doesn't hurt to like the tight end lineage from the U. You talked about Winslow, Shockey,
Bubba
Greg Olsen, Bubba Franks. Yes.
All right, here's what the front office had to say about Njoku.
Extremely young, big, great athlete. Again, also a competitive kid. But Hugh can talk a little bit more about David.
And he has the ability to make plays down the field. I think you can see that in a lot of his highlights. Again, he makes contested catches. He can create separation from defenders. He has the ability to be an inline blocker. So, again, he is a three-down tight end, and he can play the Y, he can play the U, he has that kind of versatility. So we're going to see if we can use his skill set to that way.
I think the beauty of it is he's only 20 years old as well, so the growth factor is amazing.
Well, think about it now. One of the things they talk about analytics, I think it's clear, one of the things they identified is if you get a guy that's young, you get more prime years with that player. They drafted some pretty young guys early on, and Njoku only 20 years old.
And drafting up, you have that fifth-year option as well.
Yep.
By taking him at 29th, instead of staying, you know, maybe Pat at 33, you lose out that fifth-year option.
Well, just think about it. You could have him for 5 years, sign him to a second contract. If he delivers, he can play four more years of that. He's still only 29 years old.
All right, here's what he had to say about being a Brown.
I'm 20 years old, you know, so I think I have like a bunch of things to learn, you know, just whether it's like, you know, physical or mental, you know. I just feel like I have a really high ceiling that I can reach, and I just, you know, with the help of the coaches and just hard work, I feel like I'll eventually get there.
I think we're going to remember that moment when he was that young sitting there, and I hope that we're 9 years away from, you know, saying, wow, look at all the things that happened in his time. You know, one of the great things on this station we've been able to do with the Browns is building the Browns, and they've given you so many great stories. Here's another one of those great stories as the first-round picks made their way to Berea for the very first time.
Really happy, bro. Very nice. It's gonna be fun.
How you doing, coach?
What's up, man?
I'm good, bro.
You good?
So appreciate
Let's
it.
Go.
That's
what we're here for.
Let's
we'll get a chance to spend some time with you guys a little bit later on.
Okay.
You both belong in this league. I've been a surrogate dad to so many people. I don't have to worry about you two guys. So you're going to have so much going on. Be respectful. Be thankful.
Okay. All right.
Okay. We'll see you.
Sir, thank you.
You miss me? You miss me or what?
It's been a while since we were in my office.
Yeah.
Hey,
hey, man.
Wow. Yeah.
Good. You happy?
So happy.
I told you. Right
here. You did tell me. You did tell me. You're right.
The way it works.
Well, the three amigos, I hope this is going to be a long time, man. Impressive first round for the Browns, and we're going to see a lot of these guys over the next couple of years. Another guy we're hoping to see a lot of is DeShone Kizer. The Browns find their quarterback, and he falls right into their laps in the second round. We'll talk more about Mr. Kizer when we come back. We'll be right back. Sean Kizer, welcome back to this special draft edition of Browns Countdown. Guys, let's analyze round number two. And, we, of course, we start with DeShone Kizer. The important thing to remember here is he wasn't drafted to be the guy, but Manny's going to have a chance to be the guy.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned in the first segment, I just love the value of where we got DeShone Kizer at 52 after multiple organizations compromised first-round picks and moved up to take a guy that very likely may not see the field. And I love the fact that we took a guy from a big school like Notre Dame. There is a pressure that comes with that fan base and wearing that gold helmet, and we know the pressure that will come for putting on that orange helmet and playing the quarterback position for the Cleveland Browns.
This guy's got everything you want. He's 6'4", he's 230, he can make every throw in the book, strong arm, he's mobile, rushed for 18 touchdowns. He can shake guys off, as he saw in some of these highlights in the pockets, and extend plays, and he can make every throw. Consistency is going to be the key for him, and you get a great coaching staff to work with him, and that's, I said all along, give Hugh the best piece of clay, and I think they got the best piece of clay at pick number 52. I have a source who works with his quarterback coach Zach Robinson, who worked with him training, said at first, you know, I didn't know if you, you know, the one that knocks, is this kid coachable? And Hugh Jackson talked about, said he took our coaching very well. And at first it was a little slow for him, but once he picked it up, he said he is throwing BBs, his mechanics have improved, his accuracy has improved, and the Browns may have gotten a steal that's going to turn this franchise around here in Kizer.
Help me with this. What's the difference between him and Mahomes or Trubisky or Watson?
Well, first of all, I think if he maxes out on his talent, he can be a top eight quarterback in the NFL. I don't think Trubisky ever had that kind of skill set. Mahomes does, but he's a little bit more of a wild card. I think Kizer, Kelly did him no favors, except the one team he did a favor to was the Browns, because this guy fell into their lap. I think if it comes out of after 2015, he's probably the number one overall pick in that draft.
Yeah, I just think that of all the quarterbacks drafted in, say, the first two rounds, they all fell to, or they all ended up in their position on purpose. The Bears coaches loved something about Trubisky. You know, the Chiefs wanted Mahomes, working with Andy Reid, sitting behind Alex Smith. And in our case, it's about Hugh, David Lee, and DeShone Kizer, not so much about Cody Kessler or Brock Osweiler.
All right, speaking of Hugh, here's what he had to say about DeShone Kizer.
He's a big, physical quarterback who can make all the throws that I think anybody needs to make in the National Football League. He's intelligent. So he has the characteristics that we're looking for.
A guy from Toledo ready to play for the Browns. And I guess if your socks weren't knocked off from him as a football player, listening to him in the press conference, my socks were knocked off.
Yeah, he crushed it.
My motto's always been win from within. So rather than being, you know, a pre-draft speculation of me, I'm always going to motivate myself. I'm my biggest critic. And that's going to be the standard I set for myself will always be higher than any standard anyone sets for me. So moving forward, it's just going to be me competing with myself to become the best quarterback I can possibly become.
It's going to be an interesting camp, a very interesting camp. Up next, we're going to catch up with some more of the rookies as they meet their coaches for the very first time. Welcome back to Browns Countdown. Time now to catch up with a couple of Browns rookies as they see their new digs in Berea for the first time.
Glad to be home.
How are you doing, buddy?
I don't know if I can be any better.
What's up, buddy?
Good
to see you.
You too, man. All right? Look at this. Not your average meeting room, man. What's up, bro? Thank you.
Hey. How you doing?
Good to see you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm happy.
It's a whirlwind. You just got to slow down. Same game.
Okay. Of course.
You'll be good.
Of course.
All right.
Thank you.
How you doing?
Matt, what's it like for you the first time you walk into your new team?
It's really special, and it is a case of, you know, I've arrived type of moment. And I think for the guys like, you know, DeShone Kizer and Larry Ogunjobi, there's a sense of, while I've been passed over multiple times both by the Cleveland Browns and other teams, just to see the reception that these guys get, and you're meeting everybody that scouted you and everybody that might have heard your name for many, many months, and that you're now actually a part of that franchise, and their appreciation and the reception that you receive by turning in that card. There was a commitment now by Larry and DeShone Kizer and even amongst our first-round picks that they have to make to the Browns, but it took the first commitment by the Browns to turn in that card with their name on it.
What are they getting with Larry?
They're getting a guy that can absolutely stuff the run and is a physical presence. He was number three in Pro Football Focus's run stop grades for interior defensive linemen last year. This is a guy who knows about building a program from the ground up. He was on the first team at Charlotte ever. And this is a guy who is a hard worker, turned his life around, lives in the gym, and is hungry. His family came over from Nigeria. He told me yesterday the first thing he wants to do is reward them and pay off their mortgage. I mean, this kid is a guy that you're going to absolutely love. Driven by faith, motivated by getting off the couch and turning his life around, and he did it. And I think the sky's limit. He hasn't been playing football that long either. A lot of upside here.
Absolutely. And I just think, you know, defensively up front, we talked, you know, all offseason about how great we were getting that other piece opposite Emmanuel Ogba. We did that in Myles Garrett, number one overall. But there's multiple other facets of this defense that make a Greg Williams defense so dynamic, and we get a player that can stop the run. And I also see him being used maybe in some situations where he's the penetrator in different line stunts that we can get with great athletes on the edge.
And right. You always ask these guys, who do you watch? Aaron Donald was the name he said. I said, well, now you have the opportunity to go play like Aaron Donald with the guy who coached Aaron Donald. He's like, I'm pretty excited about that.
Hugh Jackson explained a little bit more.
He's beautiful. He's big. He's strong. He's tough. He has great initial quickness. He can knock guys back. And I think he's going to be a tremendous football player for us.
All right, here's what Ogunjobi had to say about being a Brown himself.
I've been blessed to be in this position. You know, I know what it feels like to start from the ground up. And it's almost like, you know, you become a veteran just to become a rookie again. It's kind of interesting, but I'm just blessed, man. It's been a really good experience to just see the transformation and see the hard work and the long hours pay off.
And hopefully he'll be the big gun for the Browns. Up next, we'll bring you up to speed on who the Browns pick in rounds 4 through 6 of the draft. That's up next after a quick timeout. All right, well, Howard Johnson's our next guy. Howard Wilson.
Fine hotel.
I'm thinking about ice cream and all this stuff. Too many names. Howard Wilson is the next guy to talk about. Why do we like this young man? And I listened to a little bit of your interview the other day on the radio with him. He's out there, man. He's having fun.
He's got infectious energy, loves the game. But what you like about a defensive back is a guy that can get his hands on the football. 5 interceptions last year, 2 fumble recoveries. He has a nose for the ball, 15 pass breakups. And when quarterbacks targeted him last year, he allowed an opposing quarterback rating of only 45. People think if he had stayed in college one more year, did come out early, if he'd stayed one more year, probably would have played himself to a day two pick. The Browns get him now, coach him up, and I think he can push Breann Body Calhoun to be the third DB for the Browns and kick Taylor in on the nickels.
I think maybe 5 years ago I would have looked down at a pick out of the University of Houston. But with Tom Herman and what he had done there and the players that they're pushing into this draft, I like this pick a lot. And I think you add a dynamic playmaker where, you know, last year now Trey Caldwell, another corner drafted in last year's class, is going to be pushed. It's that competition, that consistent word we keep hearing. It's add talent, get dynamic players, guys that love football, guys with a clean past, and get them out on the football field learning to play the Browns way.
All right, here's what Hugh Jackson had to say.
Well, he's a tall, long guy, you know, long arms, and he has the ability to take the ball away, you know, which is a tremendous skill. That's what you want your corners to be able to do. So that's what he's going to be tasked to do here. And he's a willing tackler as well. So we're excited to have this young man on our football team.
All right, let's keep moving on. And I knew there was a Howard and a Johnson somewhere.
Yeah,
You got it. Rod Johnson, 5th-round overall pick, offensive tackle from Florida State. Is this the man that could replace Joe Thomas somewhere down the road?
Well, Joe Thomas was drafted 3rd overall.
Right.
Okay, and so, I mean, but you put him in this building. He develops watching Joe Thomas. He gets those little, you know, small chit-chat conversations on the sideline, you know, in the locker room, in the meeting room with Joe Thomas. So, but he's a very raw, large individual. I think 6'7", as we talked about early in the segment, needs to learn how to bend at the waist, bend at his knees, and be a little bit more athletic. But I think he is a guy that you just throw in the fire and is going to have to learn. And it may get an opportunity in some tackle over situations or extra lineman situations to come in and maul the guy.
Look, the fact is he got picked where he got picked, right? So you're drafting traits. This isn't a full finished product. So he's got some holes. But this is a two-time All-American at Florida State. He is huge, and you can see he can have some impact blocks in the run game, also good in the pass protection game. But he's going to get to learn. He needs to improve his technique, and guess what? He gets to learn behind the best technician. This is a nice time in the draft to take a swing at the future to maybe get an heir apparent for Joe Thomas.
All right, when we come back, we'll have some final thoughts, and we're going to look back at a trade the Browns made last year and the impact we now see that has come to fruition. Welcome back to Browns Countdown. It is the draft edition. Let's go back and talk about the Carson Wentz trade now. Because when you see the assets that the Browns acquired, you may not say to yourself, wow, why did they give up Carson Wentz? So let's go through them.
All right, so you traded Carson Wentz, the rights to Carson Wentz, and a 2017 fourth-round pick. You're still sitting with two picks that you haven't made. You had a first-rounder in 2018, a second-rounder in 2018. In addition to that, you've gotten a first-round pick, Corey Coleman, a first-round pick, Jabril Peppers, second-round pick, DeShone Kizer, also Sean Coleman, Cody Kessler, Ricardo Lewis, Spencer Drango, Derek Kindred, and Jordan Payton, all from that one move. If you just cut it off and said to me you could get Corey Coleman, Jabril Peppers, DeShone Kizer for Carson Wentz, probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Then you still, on top of that, get a one and a two that you still haven't even picked yet to come, plus all those other players. So I think what they did was set themselves up well. Now time will tell if they've executed, but certainly they've increased the talent on this roster by making one decision to move out of that number two pick.
Right, and why I like this decision ultimately is we turned one player into all these players. We turned a team with a lot of holes, you know, from one player. Yes, you stabilized the quarterback position, but you may still have a lot of holes. You know, and we may still be trying to figure things out. Well, who is Carson Wentz? Who's protecting Carson Wentz? Who is he throwing the football to? We can't play great defense, and I think you've acquired a lot of pieces that allow this team to compete and take the step that we see necessary in 2017.
And I really think if DeShone Kizer came out after 2015, he would have been picked ahead of Carson Wentz last year. I think he has, at the very least, the same up chance of being a successful long-term star in the NFL as Wentz does, and you've got all this other stuff as well. So I think at the end of the day, you look at it, this trade turned out to be a home run. Now it's up to these guys to deliver on the football field.
And just like Carson Wentz wasn't expected to play at all and have an entire redshirt year last year in Philadelphia, Nathan, you believe that if things work out the way they should and Hugh Jackson and DeShone Kizer, you know, gravitate to each other the way they will and dig into that playbook, there's a likelihood that we're going to see a lot of DeShone Kizer this year.
I like it. Why not? And
right,
I like
guys,
that they didn't rule it out.
They're kicking us off the air. We could talk about this all day
long. Let's go.
Thanks for watching Browns Countdown. We always appreciate it. We'll be back during training camp. Take care. We'll see you tonight on the Ford Sports Sunday.
Productive night. You know, all I can say is Miles, you know, David, Jabril, all going to come in here and contribute for us early. All guys that, you know, love football, highly talented, impact players.
They brought in, you know, playmakers and guys who have an attitude of things will get changed right away. And, you know, this is the same atmosphere that they have right now, that, you know, it's not going to be the same, and that we're gonna change things right away, that we can win and we will win.
Productive round two, so to speak, here for us. We were able to add Kizer, obviously, and Larry, two players that we liked and happy to add to our group. Following up on yesterday, which was really productive for us. We're happy to add both guys.
I'm my biggest critic. The standard I set for myself will always be higher than any standard that anyone sets for me. So moving forward, it's going to be me competing with myself to become the best quarterback I can possibly become.
We're excited about what we were able to accomplish this weekend. So great team effort. Really proud of our ability to execute our plan and come away with a real...